Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 134 within the series Obedience to God. Amen. Bible Study Lesson Number 44. You cannot decide where you stand in relationship to God and man until you understand man. To understand man, we had to go back to the fall, and we have to develop out the kingdom. Cultural concepts, the Adamic culture and the representation in the two major kingdoms that developed out of the Adamic culture from two aspects of it. The first aspect of it became the Sethic kingdom. The Sethic kingdom, which is a client nation to God. The other aspect of it was the Kinetic kingdom, which was a client nation to their existence upon the earth in similarities today and have been throughout all of human history. There are nations that follow God and there are nations that have no use for God, who separate from God, who go their own way in all that they do. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and absolute objectivity teaching the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the teaching your Word, for your Word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your Word will not return void. We'll accomplish all that you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify it and to bless it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. One of my heroes in life is James Bond Stockdale. Admiral Stockdale is a hero in so many ways. Then Navy Commander James Stockdale reached the Annoy Hilton on Sunday morning, September 12th. He was carried in on a stretcher, taken to the far end of the building on the south side of the courtyard, and in the scalding room 24, where Alvarez had spent the previous fall, winter, and spring. Stockdale had been shot down 3 days earlier on September night between Venn and Thonhoy. On injecting, he'd suffered a broken bone in his back. Upon capture, he'd been beaten savagely by a gang of raging civilians. During the melee, his lower left leg had been bent sideways from the knee at it. Nearly a 90-degree angle and was badly broken. He was rescued by North Vietnamese Army personnel who took him to a hut and held him under guard. The next day, a doctor examined Jim's leg and produced a surgical saw and surgical knife. Jim implored the man not to amputate. The Vietnamese, not understanding this, seemed to comprehend Jim's pleas and was sympathetic. He brought out a large hypodermic and injected Jim with a colorless fluid. Almost instantly, the patient lost consciousness. He awoke later that day to find his broken leg in a cast. A second cast had been placed in his broken left shoulder. In this crippled condition, he reached Hanoi. He was depressed, worried, frightened. Foremost in his mind were studies he had made years earlier. While working toward his master's degree in international studies at Stanford University of High American, POWs during the Korean War had been brainwashed and been made submissive enough to make treasonous statements against their government. How smart, how tough would one have to be to withstand brainwashing? Also, he upset that he had been recognized as one of the authority. There's no question in his mind that the military professionals among his captors were well aware of the kind of military secrets an air wing commander had to know. Information their Chinese and Russian allies would like to have. To what lengths would they go to extract it, torture, drugs? And what a vengeance. A year earlier, the squadron commander Stockley received attention from the American press, where he led the three principal actions in the Tonkin Gulf raid. The North Vietnamese were hardly likely to Bill carried the warning. Stockdale prayed and thought hard. He was convinced it was going to be a long war. Somebody had to buy himself some time and plot a proper course. There could be no leaks, no surrender of precious information. Admiral Stockdale, of course, was tortured in prison. Showed them that they could not do anything to him that he could not himself do. We're going to see the depravity of man and why these things happen. Most Americans know little or nothing or care little or nothing about what it costs the American fighting men and still probably costing our MIAs. Some of them, because I have no doubt there, some of them still alive. Americans have not studied the Vietnam War. They pushed it behind, and particularly the POW situation, or what it was about. How many of you have ever read In Love and War, written by Admiral Jim Stockdale and his wife Sylvia Stockdale in 1984, published? How many have read Eugene B. Red McDaniel's book, Scars and Stripes, A True Story of One Man's Courage in Facing Death as a Vietnam POW? Came out in 1975. I've got to try to locate my copy and read it one more time. What an honor it was to shake the hand, Captain McDaniel. Man is evil, but man doesn't want to accept it. We left off in the last class, which is the beginning of the Adamic culture. It was founded by Adam as a new culture. The foundational stone started on the day that he fell. Because Adam fell, the entire race fell on Adam. So therefore, Adam was the founder of the culture that reflects the problems of sin and evil. But God did not allow Adam to degenerate down in his grace. Adam was the Son of God by creation. He was the created father of the race. God the Father created Adam and made him his son. Luke chapter 3 calls him the Son of God. He lost the image and likeness of God when he fell. But he did not lose his sonship as the created one. And the Father in grace sent his eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem Adam. And we saw at the end of the last class that Adam was redeemed. We'd gotten down to the principle of that. The Adamic culture was then founded, and it was then developed by a redeemed man whose wife was also saved. Adam never had time to degenerate down on the principles of immoral degeneracy in Romans chapter 1, moral degeneracy in Romans chapter 2, and religious degeneracy in the second half of Romans chapter 2. He was instead redeemed on the day of his salvation, on the day of his fall, in the evening. So the Adamic culture was actually developed out by a redeemed man whose wife was also saved, Genesis 3:21. Under Adam also his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. The coats of skins were the type of Christ made into righteousness, a divinely provided garment. The first sinners might make fit the presence of God. The righteousness would typify the righteousness of Christ yet to come. This was based on the promise of the seed of the woman, given in Genesis 3:14. And I will put enmity between thee, that was between Satan and the woman, between thy seed, Satan's seed, and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the first promise of the Redeemer. We call this the highway or the trail of the seed. Went to Abel, who was, and Seth became his substitute, Genesis 4:25, when he was murdered by Cain, then Noah, Genesis 6, 8-10, Shem, Genesis 9:26 and 27, Abraham, Genesis 12, 1-4, Isaac, Genesis 17, 19-21, Jacob, Genesis 28, 10-14, Judah, Genesis 9, 49-10, David, 2 Samuel 7, 5-17, Emmanuel, Christ, Isaiah 7, 9-14, Matthew 1, 1, 20-23, 1 John 3:8 and John 12:31. These are the promises of the trail of the seed. God promised redemption. Adam and Eve were saved there. So we find out that the Adamic culture began at the moment Adam lost the image and likeness of God. That's point one. Then subpoint A. The Father did not allow Adam to degenerate into experiential evil before he was saved. B, he sent the Son to redeem Adam on the day of the fall, on the evening of the fall. He set the sun to redeem Adam on the evening of his fall. God was grace and mercy to the one who had been in his image and likeness. Now John 3 was a message to Nicodemus prior to the cross, so it shows us that salvation was a redeemable work and transformed the man inside, even in every believer from Adam down the line. They had limited amount of knowledge, and the knowledge varied from one dispensation to another, from one chronological age within the dispensations. Nicodemus came to Christ to discuss with him. Nicodemus was a theologian among the Jews, the issue of regeneration. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of God, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The necessity for the new birth grows out of the incapacity of the natural man to see or enter into the kingdom of God. However gifted, moral, or refined the natural man is absolutely blind to spiritual truth and impotent to enter the kingdom, for he can neither obey, understand, nor please God. John 3:3-5-6, Psalm 51:5, Jeremiah 17:9, Mark 7:21-23, 1 Corinthians 2:14, Romans 8:7-8, Ephesians 2:3, quoting from C.I. Schofield. Secondly, the new birth is not the reformation of the old nature, Romans 6:6. But a creative act of the Holy Spirit, John 3:5, 1:12-13, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Ephesians 2:10-4:24. 3, the condition of new birth is faith in Christ crucified. Now, Adam didn't have all the information, he just knew that they were going to send a Redeemer. John 3:14-15, 1:12-13, Galatians 3:24. 4, to the new birth, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature and the life of Christ himself in Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 2:10, 4:24, Colossians 1:27, 1 Peter 1:23-25, 2 Peter 1:4, and 1 John 5:10-12. Now, the Old Testament believers did not receive all of the positional possessions that you and I received. However, they did become the children of God. John 1:12, to as many as received him, them gave you the power to become the children, technon, of God. Adam was redeemed by faith in the promise of a coming Redeemer to redeem the human race. Adam bore two sons. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She assumed that the man was the Redeemer. He was not the Redeemer. And she again bare a brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Cain means acquisition, is a type of a mere man of the earth. His religion was destitute of any adequate sense of sin or need of atonement. The religious type described in 2 Peter chapter 2. Abel, meaning exaltation or that which ascends, is a type of the spiritual man. He sacrificed in which atoning blood was shed, Hebrews 9:22, and therefore at once his confession of sin, expression of faith, and the interposition of his substitute, Hebrews 11:4, was revealed. His heart, where his heart was. So in each generation there would be saved people as typified by Abel. Hebrews, Genesis 4, 2-4 then. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And to Cain his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. His countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why is your righteousness fail? If thou doest well, thou shalt not... Shalt thou not be accepted if thou doest not well sin? Literally in the Hebrew, the sin offering lieth at the door. The Hebrew word is the same used for sin and the sin offering, thus emphasizing in a remarkable way the complete identification of the believer's sin with the sin offering. John 3:14, hold the place here. And as man lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In the passage in Genesis 4:7, both meanings are brought forward. Sin lieth at the door, but also sin offer crouches at the tent door. It is where sin aboundeth that grace is much more abound. Romans 5:20. Abel's offering implies a previous instruction. Go back to Genesis 3:21, and to Adam, his wife, did the Lord God make coats and clothe them. Coats of skins and clothe them. It was following previous instructions because it was offered by faith. Hebrews 11:1-4. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But faith, by faith Abel offered unto God a marked and sacrifice, and came by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead he yet speaketh. Abel was saved by faith in the promise of the coming seed, and faith is taking God at his word, so that Cain's unbloody offering was a refusal of the divine way. But Jehovah made a last appeal to Cain, yet to bring the required offering. Alright, so we see Abel, and we see the unsaved people within each generation. There would be unsaved people typified by Cain, Genesis 4:2-7. Again, and she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was one. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and I've gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 3. The process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground offering unto the Lord. Verse 5. But Cain to Cain, his offering, he had no respect, and Cain was wroth, angry, his countenance fell. Now, then we discover something. All the children of saved people do not get saved. All the children of saved people do not get saved. Cain is the religious type seen in 2 Peter 2. And among the people, even as there are false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetous shall they feign words, make merchandise of those whom the judgment now long time lingereth not, and for their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, leaving them in the chains of darkness to be reserved in the judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You can go on and read from there. What we have then in Cain is a part of the group. The destitute of the spirit, verse 17 says, these are wells without water, clouds which carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Cain would beget a generation upon generation of unsaved people. who would die in the flood. He would have a descendant, we believe, who married Ham and would be saved, but who would never have much spiritual growth. Would actually lead her husband back into idolatry. Now, the primitive original inborn light concerning the issues of natural theology was in existence to Adam, but natural theology was lost as far as its full meaning was concerned with the fall of Adam. Man begins to think. But man begins to think and to endure and to consider things in the wrong light. Now, I want you to think about something for just a minute. Very carefully. Idolatry would come in quickly. And there would be a distortion of the truth concerning God and concerning who he was and what he was. Famous philosophers among the pagans have recognized the teaching messages of the Word of God. Plato in the Book of Laws said the very sky never ceases to teach men. In a reply to Arusius, Cicero said, "Who can be so blind as to not sense the existence of God?" Lucius wrote, "Inhabitants of city and country must all believe and hold that God exists, that the universe with all of its arrangements and order cannot be the product of chance or a man." Tatian said, "We know and comprehend the invisible beings of God by his action." Cicero in the Nature of God's Book 2 wrote, "The beauty and the order of the heavens proclaim that there exists some supreme and eternal power which is worthy of respect and admiration of the human race." Cain brought a false offering, but Cain did not deny the existence of God. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." We have a nation of people today that are fools, as they promote agnosticism and atheism in America. As that awareness of God which was prevailed and still continues among sinners, we do not have the benefit of supernatural revelation. This kind is built upon those evidences of natural theology, though. For doctrine to become effective in its application to sinners, it must take into account two factors. God, as he is himself in all of his glory, honor, and attributes. And God's will and his sovereign judgments upon mankind. From the standpoint of fallen humanity, the first refers to our ability to save ourselves, and the latter to the will of salvation provided by God. Salvation is of the Lord, Scripture teaches. Augustine said, "Keep the commandments through fear of punishment, not through love to righteousness. What he does externally, he does not perform in his heart. Therefore, internally, he is guilty of sin, however innocent he may deem himself to be." There are two elements in the theology of fallen man. An inner light not yet extinct, the innate knowledge of God awareness, God existence, the existence of God, God consciousness, we often call it, which is the potential for theology, and God's revelation of himself through his works of creation and providence, which we can call objective lessons in theology or a school of theology. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament of his handiwork. God has put out the reality of what is there to fallen man. Now look at the Adamic culture. There was weak spiritual leadership. Adam's original weakness as a spiritual leader was manifested when his wife named their firstborn Cain, meaning acquisition, and assumed that he would be their Redeemer, Genesis 4:1. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, 'I've gotten a man from the Lord.'" And we compare that with 3:15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And then he said unto the woman, verse 16, "Unto the woman he will say, 'I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, thou shalt be to thy husband, he shall be to thee, he shall rule over thee.'" Yu had been sentenced to set the stage for all women in the need to find her satisfaction in her husband as her leader. Adam again allows his wife to assert herself, and once more she makes a doctrinal mistake, just like she did back in Genesis 3:1. Or 3:2, I should say. Eve had misunderstood doctrine. Before the fall, Genesis 3:2, by the fruit which is the tree of the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And she still misunderstands doctrine. In Genesis, after the fall, verse 4:1, when she named her son Cain. B. Cain and Abel brought sacrifices to a specific place, implying a special place for worship of God had been established by Adam. This is 4:3-4. And Cain, in the process of time, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord, and Abel also brought of the fruit, firstlings of the flock, and of the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, it is must be understood that Cain, when he brought this offering, was 129 years old. Abel was either a twin at 129 years of age, or else Abel was 128, 1 year difference. Both had their own twin sisters who were wives, believed that was the belief among the Jewish rabbis. We've taught this before. So they're over the age of 100. Principle. During the millennial kingdom, 100 will be the age of maturity. Isaiah makes this clear to us. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20. There shall no more events be an infant of days, nor an old man that have not filled his days, for the child shall die at 100 years old, but the son of having 100 years old shall be accursed. It is a logical deduction that in the dispensation of man, 100 was also the age of maturity. That is, accountability to responsibility. Accountability to responsibility. Based upon this verse, as a logical conclusion. So they were qualified to go out and do the sacrifices on their own. They were over the age of 100. So the animal sacrifice was a burnt offering, implying there was an answer sacrifice previously built by Adam in a special place of worship, Genesis 4, 3, and 4. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground offering unto the Lord, and Abel also brought the first unto his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. When Cain did his offering, he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Hebrews 4:11-4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. So point B. God's rejection of Cain's offering and acceptance of Abel's offering implies that Adam, as the father, family patriarch, priest, had instructed his firstborn sons in the divine mandates concerning animal blood sacrifices. Genesis 4:4-7, which we just read. Adam was a prophet of God after the fall. Luke 1:69-70. For us in the house of his servant David, he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Acts 3:21. Whom heaven must receive at the time of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Luke 1:69-70 and Acts 3:21, we learn that there were sacred prophets inspired of God from the earliest beginnings of human history. From Jude, we know that Enoch was one of these prophets. Enoch was not there at the beginning. Jude 14, and Enoch also the servant from Adam prophesied, he said, behold, the Lord cometh with tens of thousands of his saints. The logical deduction are that Adam, Seth, Enoch, Noah, and Shem, women remain the primary worthies and most blessed and honored of God among all the ancients. Each one of them was, in the case of Adam was the son of God by creation. Seth was the replacement line seed from whom the eternal seed began with. Enoch was given divine revelation concerning the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ before the first advent. Enoch was translated that he did not see death as we think of death. Noah, found righteous in the eyes of God, was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years on the other side of the flood in the antediluvian civilization, and then was brought over to this side of the post-diluvian civilization and we continued to live for 250 years. Shem, Noah's son, who was born, I believe, 100 years before the flood, lived to be 602, living 502 years after the flood, were triplets. Shem was probably Melchizedek. He was undoubtedly the instructor of Job, original instructor and trainer of Job. He lived a long extended period after the flood, with all the great genius and knowledge across from it. Hyssop records, and I believe this, that it was Shem that executed Nimrod for his rebellion against God down in Egypt. I taught this at other times with documentation on why we believe it a long time ago. So Adam was a prophet of God. He stood out among the sacred teachers along with these other men, Seth, Noah, and Shem. Now, we know that Enoch recorded the book. And the indications also that to each one is severally recorded and transmitted within you and held as sacred, and Moses is making the book of Genesis incorporated those sacred elements in his records under the verbal inspiration of the Spirit, moving them into one narrative, condensing and adding to, but carefully preserving the ancient text which he employed. That's the name of that called Mosaic Work. Now, would it seem impossible, even in the late day, to point out what particulars the whole record will have? It is my belief that Adam wrote Genesis 2:4 to the close of chapter 3. The book of the prophet Adam, and at once assumes a life and vividness which it does not otherwise possess. Its style and content show in a monograph. Its close would seem to indicate the time that when it was written as prophet author. Certainly no one was so well qualified to write as Adam himself, and he wrote anything, it must have been this. Assuming also this, that he and not Moses was the original narrator, we are greatly helped with regard to the allusions to the topography of Eden, which to Dallas was much changed, and raising the apprehensions with which men looked upon the geography of the earth at the time of Moses from what it was in the time of Adam, because of the great earthquakes and volcanic eruptions during the flood. 2,000 years make a wonderful difference in the statements of the Gazetta, even with regard to the same localities. The account of temptations in the fall also becomes more intelligible and interesting in the simplicity of Adam's own statement than the same remote historian as Moses. The name of the deity Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah God, is also peculiar to this one section of the divine writings. So Adam was the prophet of God. F. The son appeared to Cain at the offering and rebuked him for failing to bring the animal blood sacrifice, which demonstrated that Adam failed in patriarchal priestly duties concerning his oldest son. Genesis 4, 6, and 7. Cain did not bring what he was told to bring. Adam had failed in the training up of his son. His son was rebellious against that which God had. His son was going to do it a new way. Cain is the father of secular humanism. Adam allowed his sons to go on their own initiative to sacrifice. They evidently was not motivated to go with them at that time and sacrifice to God. Abel may have been led by the father to bring his own animal sacrifice because Adam was not neglecting his patriarchal priestly responsibilities. We don't know. Adam may have settled out and become complacent after 129 years after the fall. It might have been the struggles of trying to survive as a farmer. It might have been that Adam battled Great Depression. Spurgeon, one of the greatest Bible teachers of all times, battled depression, particularly, and so have many other ministers over the years. It's a trait with us. He has a spiritual gift. You teach a good class or something, you feel real good about what you've done, and then you battle depression. Someone takes a crack at you, whatever it may be. Misunderstand something you said and starts a war over it. We don't have the details. It's not given to us in Scripture as to what the battles were, but Adam began to fail at this point, even though he was a prophet of God. Adam did not go with his men and take his own sacrifice with his sons. Now, 1H. Adam's family stands in direct contrast to Job's actions as a patriarchal priest in regards to his children. Job 1:5. On the days that a feasting was gone about, and Job sat and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of the law. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now his sons were adults, they owned their own tents to live in, they had their own homes. They were having parties and stuff, they were wealthy children, raised and spoiled a little bit undoubtedly by Job. Well, Job was concerned about him, so he went out and took the offering. That is my belief that Job was 140 years old on the day this happened. That means Job's oldest son could have been 100, or they could be close to 100, maybe not quite 100 yet, depending upon when they were born. I base it on the fact that God doubled everything for Job. He gave him a new group of children, and his other children were saved in paradise waiting for him. So he gave him one of each of those and gave him twice everything else he had. I believe God doubled his age, which would take him to 280 years of age. Personal belief, you don't have to accept it. But Job sacrificed for his children lest they have sinned. Adam seems to have fallen on the way that they're not going himself to sacrifice with them at this time. So he could repudiate and tell Cain, no, you can't bring that sacrifice. Eve again asserts herself in spiritual issues when she names Seth appointed as the divine replacement for Abel, Genesis 4:25. And Adam knew his wife again, she bare a son, called his name Abel. I'm sorry, Seth, for God has said he hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. But Eve is naming the children. The wife is taking usurped authority. Is it sinful and evil for the wife to name the children? No. But she's naming them in accordance with doctrinal principles that she does not understand. And it's true that Seth was to become the replacement for Abel. God had promised a replacement, and she got it. But she had believed Cain was the original redeemer. It was not until Cain murdered Abel that she came to understand that the line would be longer. It would not come through the firstborn, but through her secondborn son. We need to think about these things. This time, Eve is spiritually correct in her conclusion, that's sub-point one. The really important thing to know is the solace of Adam in all this. Adam records for us everything that's going on, but Adam is silent on the subject. A strange thing for the prophet of God. For is our belief that that the Adamic culture becomes a primary occupation with temporal life. Adam, the first man, was on the earth. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:47-49. I'm going to try to make it through this class. My wife has had two very rough nights. I was going to teach yesterday morning. I just couldn't do it after the rough night the night before, and I'm also having throat problems, along with the tiredness that comes on with part of the health problem that I have at times. 1 Corinthians 15:47-49. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such is also they that are earthy, and as the heavenly, such is also heavenly. And if we have borne the image of the earthy, we should also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, the word earth is G-E, and earthy. I'm sorry. Couldn't help that. Chorikos, C-H-O-R-I-K-O-S. It's exciting doctrine, but yet I've got my physical problem. I thank the Lord for every day He gives me, for every class I can, any study I can do, and for every class I can teach. Moreover, in contrast to that, is the second man who came from heaven, 1 Corinthians 15:27-28, we just read. God the Son is a heavenly person. He came down out of heaven. Adam's body was made from the earth of the ground. Adam was connected to the earth. When the curse was put upon Adam, it was said of Adam, "Dust I cometh, to dust I shall return." So the contextual establishes a contrast in Corinthians here between the natural man and the spiritual man. D. Adam was born again after a spiritual man through regeneration. E. Adam had lived for an indefinite period of time, perhaps as long as 2,000 years without experience, as long as 1,900 years, because if he lived 2,000 years, he would have passed the test. 1,900 years without experiencing the necessity for hard work, Genesis 2:15-16. Before the fall, then I believe that Adam lived and passed the test of innocence. You don't have, of individuality. In the sort of 1,000 years, and probably had gone about 900 years in his marriage test before he failed it. Genesis 2:15-16. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress him, to keep him. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." He was free to go around and eat and enjoy the pleasures that were there. F. Adam was cast out of the Garden of Eden, forced to work hard to feed himself and his family, Genesis 3:17-18. And Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and had eaten of the tree of the knowledge, the tree of which I commanded, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, curses the ground for thy sake. For sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life, thorns and also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for thou wast thou taken, for dust thou art, dust thou shalt return." She Adam's non-honeymoon was over, and his wife quickly became occupied with motherhood, Genesis 3:20. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Both Adam and Eve were experiencing sorrow for the first time, Genesis 3:16-17. He said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception sorrow, and I shall bring forth children. Thy desire shall be thy husband, he shall rule over thee. And Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten the tree which I commanded thou shalt not eat, curses the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life." So, upon that, Eve's sorrow was with conception, Adam's sorrow, and work is the Hebrew word, itsabon. I-T-S-T-S-A-B-O-W-N, which means mental attitude suffering through weariness as well as pain from toil and labor. You saw with conception, Adam saw in work is a Hebrew word, it's sabon, which means mental attitude suffering through wearisomeness as well as pain and from toil and labor. So it comes from the primitive root word asav, A-T-S-A-B, to car, fabricate, or fashion in the negative sense, to manufacture soul pain of worry, angry, grief, and hurt. 3. Eve's sorrow in childbirth, Esab, E-T-S-E-B, means both physical and mental toil and suffering. First of all, Adam suffered the great loss of temporal life blessings in all of human history when he was cast out of the Garden of Eden and forced into hard labor as a farmer. Think of that. Adam was the prince ruler over the whole world. He'd been given authority to go ahead and mine or pan gold. He'd been given authority to understand and utilize gum risings, all these things of value that we saw there. Water power, to understand water for travel, water for sustained life, water for agriculture, water to run mills for power and all, water for defense. The borderline, all these things, I believe God taught them to Adam. Adam was a brilliant man. He suffered the loss of all of these things. For about 1900 years, God the Son had been teaching and preparing him to live 930 years upon the earth after the fall, because God the Son in omniscience knew the fall of Adam. He knew the end from the beginning, right along with the Father and the Spirit. The principle of the science of Scripture implies that much of Adam's life was lived in occupation with the trials and the struggles of this world. I, Adam, renamed his wife Eve instead of Isha because he became occupied with her as the mother of his children and the race that would come forth through them in Genesis 3:20. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Adam had never held on to the impact that he had before with Eve. All right, point six, population, limited scripture spiritual impact. A, Scripture never mentions any spiritual life accomplishments for Adam. Except for his prophetic office. But that does not mean he does not have any. I guess the prophetic office taken from the course from the concept in Luke 1:69-70. And Acts 3:21, there were prophets from the beginning. B, he is listed at the beginning of the spiritual heritage genealogy in Genesis 5, which is a separate cultural heritage. C, Adam as the first patriarchal priest was undoubtedly responsible for teaching Abel. He became the first spiritual martyr in Adamic human history in Genesis 4:1-8. Adam undoubtedly had instructed Abel and instructed him well. In Genesis 4:1-8, we just read on the sacrifice of Abel, which he accepted by God. Also Hebrews 11:1-4, we've read those passages, we'll read them again now. D, as a logical deduction, Adam had brought an animal sacrifice to the Father at various times during the 129 years before Cain and Abel decided to bring their own sacrifice. The spiritual heritage of the Sethic culture did not begin until the birth of his son Enos, which occurred approximately 105 years after the death of Abel. Genesis 4:25-26. And Adam knew his wife again, she bare a son, called his name Seth, for God said she had appointed men of the seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And the Seth then also was born a son, he called his name Enos, and began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 5:6. And Seth lived 105 years and began Enos. So we've got a total of 106 years that go by between the murder of Abel and this. Now, if Abel was a patriarchal priest, had to have been the one who was responsible for Seth learning how to be saved, which was the beginning of the new spiritual awakening. And they went down to the others saved at the same time while this was going on. But I understand, Adam, we're not saying Adam did not play a great part in history as the great, as the one who was the creator one. Don't misunderstand me at all. Adam lived to see the birth of Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, and Lamech. He died in 930. Lamech was born, the father of Noah was born in 874. So Lamech was 56 years old when Adam was buried. Very important for you to understand that. The death of Adam, Seth was 800 years old, Enos was 695, Canaan was 605, Mahalalel was 535, Jared was 407, Enoch was 308. Methuselah was 243, and Lamech was 56. This is very important for us to understand and relate to in what's going on. The principal concept here was is that with Seth, there began to be some spiritual revival among the people in the land there in a greater way. Now, this was under Adam, they were saved because Seth was saved, and Seth would be the founder, the father of the new line of the kingdom that would answer the kingdom of Cain. They would come out of the Adamic culture, out of the concept of where they were. We're studying in great detail once more the kinetic civilization. But we want you to understand what's going on here. Now, the timing of Jonathan adds at the end of 130 years after Abel was killed, Seth was born the same year Bishop Usher believes it was, which is most probable, probably 9 months later, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. Seth means put place Seth. Not with any respect to Cain, he had no settled fixed abode, but worried about. Well, Seth is the foundation of the new kingdom, there being a type of Christ, the only foundation. It has to be considered in such light. Eve could not have understood these things, but God had the plan for it. She understood that the seed was to come through Seth. And God, he said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. There was another son in his room. By calling him a seed, she may have respected under the promised seed, which he once thought Cain was. He expected him in his line as being firstborn, but he fooled the wicked man, having slain his brother Abel, on whom her future hopes was placed. She now had a substitute in his room, out of the line from which Messiah would come. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Coming up time to hit the pause button there. When he was 105 years old, we see an instance of God goodness to Adam and his family and his land. There was a succession in it where the true worship of God was kept, where the Messiah would arise from. And the son he called his name Enos, which is generally interpreted a weak, feeble, frail, mortal, miserable man. With such being sensible, having observing the signs of human life, having reached over 100 years of age already, especially in the increase of them among good men, through the ground corruption of age, gave the name to his son. Now, the revelation name may be from the Arabic word alas, A-N-A-S, meaning to be sociable and familiar. Man being sociable creature, in civil, but also in religious studies, and so a reason for the name to be taken for what follows. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. Not but that Adam and Abel and all the good men had called upon the name of the Lord and prayed and worshipped him before the time passed them and their families, but now the families of good men being larger and more numerous, they joined together in social and public worship that will appear. They were now going to the altar together. There was a revival in the land. Then began men to call themselves or to be called by the name of the Lord. The sons of God as distinct from the sons of men began to appear, and they began men to call on the name of the Lord. Call upon God the name of Messiah, the mediator between God and men, having now since the birth of Seth, especially of Enos, clearly notations of the promised seed which was to come. The Jews get a very different sense of these words. The Targum of Vatican said that in these days the children of men ceased from praying in the name of the Lord. In the Targum of Jabez, this was the age of the day when they began to err, and they made themselves idols, and set on their idols by the name of the word of the Lord, with which agrees the name of Jericho. Then they began to call upon the names of men, the names of herbs, by the names of the blessed God, to make idols of them. And some of them said, particularly the name of all these, that Enos himself erred and fell into idolatry, and was the first inventor of images by the mediation of which men prayed to God. Well, this is without any kind of a foundation at all. It has been brought out by many great Bible teachers before me. in just the character of the Son by the living patriarch because of the fact that the idolatry worship came directly out of the Kemetic civilization, not the Sethic civilization. And again, these writings of the Jewish rabbis would appear to be Satan's attempt as an angel of light, of deceptive light, to confuse the believer regarding the spiritual line concepts. We'll pick up here in the next chapter. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word. For your word is absolute truth. Again, claim your promise. It will not return void. In Christ's name we pray. Give us so.